what's coming up on today's experience. Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but they are strategically placed for fun. The review of the Goofy News, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. In regards to the media, they are strategically placed for fear. Ooh. Life lessons for our faith that we can actually use probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Because I have been strategically placed for faith. Oh, I like that. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. To the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly tug. My name is David Spoon. I'll be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. I have a voice that sounds like a frog. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian, that thingy. You know, where has God placed you? And what does he want you to do while you're there? Ooh. You see, you're on assignment. Are you doing the assignment that God has given you? Ooh, that's so nice. Hey, if you've got an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, please don't let it die of loneliness. Just give us a call, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you call, 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid a Dynamite!
Dynamite! All right, talking to Dynamite D, that's like someone taking you out for ice cream. Two scoops!
Two scoops, Dad.
Two scoops, people! You can either have one of the regular cones or a sugar cone or a waffle cone. That's what it's like talking to Dynamite D. Now, as the show goes on, my voice will go in and out. Fret not. I am not stressed about it, but I am hoping that you still get the great messages that the Lord has in his word. But we are moving forward. We are not. Do we quit?
We don't quit. It's not pretty good, though, Dave. It's like
not
a Friday
terrible
voice.
Yeah. Like, hey, my name's Froggy. It's not quite like that. Although it kind of can be up here depending on what I do. It just depends. So we'll just see what happens. And the longer I go, the stronger I get.
I like that.
Here it is. You can also text us, by the way. The text number, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Semi-professional voice coming up.
214-210-8483.
That's just solid. You can't lose that amount. That's too good. Also, you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's David, not supercalifragilisticexpialidocious-antidisestablishmentarianism. It's just david@hemustincrease.org. Pretty simple. We send you up to the website. A couple things I want to tell you. Most of you do know, I'll be speaking on Sunday. That's right. We're aware. It's spiritual warfare. I'll be speaking on Sunday at Stillwater Community Church. That information is on the website. If you plan on going and you listen to the radio show, I would love to meet you, talk to you. The first time Eric came and introduced himself, my brain wasn't even thinking. And it's like, hey, I'm Eric. He'd been with the show for 2 years. And I was like, oh, that's great. Great. Have a great time. And I ignored him completely. And so the point I want to tell you is, for sure, reach out and tell me who you are, what's going on. But be aware that before the service, I'm going to be concentrating on what I'm teaching on. So try and do it make after the service, unless you already know me. But you got to tell me, you got to give me a second, because my brain moves sometimes a little slow, especially on Sunday morning. So let's just be aware of that. But I want to encourage you to come. I think you'd have a great time. It's an excellent church. They're fantastic people, and they will treat you well, and you will be blessed. Also on the website is an opportunity to give. Why is that important? Because we can't do the ministry without it. I mean, there's nothing weird about that. You know, hey, Dave, how's your Beamer going? You mean my 103,000-mile Sportage from 2017? How's it going? I have tread on my tires. I'm pretty happy about that, trust me. So the idea behind this is just for us to advance and keep going in the radio ministry. If you can give, great. If you can't, don't worry about it. It's totally okay. Pray for us. We need that. I need prayer, people praying. I need the bombardment of heaven. That's what we need more than anything else. The Lord knoweth that's what we need. So check out the website, hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
Hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
Hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
Hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
Hemustincrease.org.
Hemustincrease.org.
That's so good.
I was ready to rock out.
Here we go. I can feel you again. Oh, sorry. All right, so, sorry, it's just going a little farther than I probably should have. Please, by all means, be praying for one another. That's one of the most important things we do on the show. So we have fun. We educate, we encourage, and we entertain. That's our mission. That's what we do. We try to educate from a biblical point of view. We try to encourage, because behind that education, from our perspective, is you need somebody that's rooting for you. I mean, that's just the truth. And then, right? That's fair.
Does the jokes count as entertainment?
Well. Hey, right, you are not getting your raise. No, I'm kidding. So anyway, like I pay you. So anyway, the other part about that is that we entertain. I guess that is part of the entertainment. See, it's funny because if you listen to the jokes and you ever laugh, you have been entertained.
Pretty much.
But it also says you have a terrible sense of humor. So, you got to work it out one way or another. Bottom line, pray for one another, please. That's what Jesus wants us to do. That's what we all need to be doing for one another. We are in the end of chapter 11 in the book of Hebrews. We are at the end of the Hall of Fame of Faith. And if you thought some of that stuff was challenging, wait till you hear this portion of text right now. I believe this one is directly coming out of the Christian Standard Bible, so you might see a little bit of a different translation. But we're in verse 39. Listen to what it says. All these. And so I'm going to back it up so that you can see where the runway is. That I call it the runway. Verse 36. Others experienced mockings and scourging, as well as bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They died by the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, afflicted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and on mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. Verse 39. All these were approved through their faith, but they did not receive what was promised. What? All right, let's just understand what's going on before we go anywhere else. As we're winding down in chapter 11 for the Hall of Fame of Faith in Hebrews, we come to this verse 39, and all these people that were mentioned were approved by God because of their faith. I'm going to ask you again, how were they approved by God? Because of their faith. What was it that approved them? Their faith. What is it that impressed God, quote unquote? Their faith. What is it that God made known to us about Abraham? That he loved his faith. He believed the promises of God. He believed the word of God, and therefore became the inheritor of the promises. These people and all these people that we've read about, and so many more, the Lord is pleased because they operated in faith. Of all the things that you're going to do, this is a biggie that starts the process. God gives it by grace. You receive it by faith. That vehicle of faith then opens up the fantastic in the kingdom of God. That's what you got to catch. So these are all approved by their faith. Notice it doesn't say approved by this, that, whatever. It doesn't prove they're not approved by their good looks. not approved by their good work. They're approved by their faith. Now, yes, their faith has actions, but it is their faith that motivated their actions. Now, this is the hard part. Ready? Okay, so bear with me. Stay with me as brother and sister. Stay with me. They were all approved through their faith, but they did not receive what was promised. That does not mean they all received the promises that they were anticipating. In fact, some did and some didn't, depending on what the promise was. But the real key is that their faith was so strong that they looked forward. They saw into eternity and recognized that this is where some of the fulfillment was going to take place, and they didn't bat an eye. You know, I might have a froggy voice, but don't tell me, right? Come on, you're just looking at it going, whoa. So some things that you have been promised will happen in this era, E-R-A, not E-R-R-O-R, this era, this time frame, they will happen and it will manifest. And you'll be like, wow, and that's fantastic and it's awesome. But some things will be manifest later. But the faith that these people had pushed them to a level that they were not bat an eye. They would not move one step off because they had confidence in God. And even if they couldn't manifest it all in the palm of their hand while they were journeying on the earth, I mean, shall we take the moment to remind each and every one of us that 1 Peter mentions that we're all just temporary residents here, right? We know that's true. There's nothing, you know, we already covered this in Hebrews 11, 13 through 16, that we're all just like, we're looking for a different place. Some of those promised fulfillments will be now, some will be later. It doesn't matter because they didn't move in their faith. What happens is that we believe the Lord gives us a promise. He makes promises to us in his word. He's given us promises individually. By the way, God still gives promises. For people that think that God doesn't do that, it's ridiculous. The entire Bible is filled with God engaging with people and giving them promises. That's not the issue. The issue is, how do you receive it? How do you respond to it? How do you take it in? Do you really believe it was from the Lord? And do you hold faith the way you started with faith when it started? And that's such a it's such a practical but truthful element. See, the Lord might say something or share something, and you're like, oh, yeah, hallelujah. And you do your little happy dance and so on and so forth. That's totally cool. Love it. I love it. You love it. We love it. But as time goes on, what happens? That faith that's there built on little mini rocks, a couple of rocks fall here and a couple of rocks fall here and a couple of rocks fall here, and the faith gets a little shaky. 25 years between the promise that God made Abraham and the fulfillment of the promise. Halfway point, they were like, well, we'll help God out. How'd that work out? Not great. That's our response. Not brilliant, right? You gotta hold the faith. It's he that believeth. Get it? Okay, we'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience on KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
When Joshua was trying to figure out, you know, the Lord and his decision for the Lord, and he was doing pretty good and had good training, he made a decision to follow the Lord. Then he made a decision that he wanted to really commit to devotions. I told him I was proud of him for that. That's his own decision. He has to make that call. Nobody can choose that. You know, I was listening to something the other day, and this is one of the most bizarre statements. You're never going to hear a more bizarre statement. I hope this gets on the radio. You know, you can be born and raised Jewish. You can be born and raised Italian. You can be born and raised in many different things, but you can't be born a Christian. Can't do it. Because you have to make a decision for Jesus Christ. There's no being born a Christian. That doesn't work. That's a lie. You have to make a choice, an individual choice. Your 15 generations of your family could be Christians. When you're born, that does not make you a Christian. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's when you become a Christian. You understand that difference? It was just something that dawned on me. Like, you know, people don't talk that way. Well, he was born in a Christian family. That doesn't mean he's a Christian. Plenty of murderers came out of Christian families. That doesn't mean a thing. That's nothing. But anyway, going back to it, I had to share that because that thought that just really struck me as odd. But the power of our words is so noticeable. And Jesus says, hey, you know, I got one for you. By your words, you're going to be justified. By your words, you're going to be condemned. So my question to pose is why? That's so forceful and brutal. And the answer is in Matthew chapter 15. You guys like that one, huh? Like that. I could tell below. I like that. Matthew chapter 15. Here's the reason. Verse 18. Matthew 15, 18 says this. But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart. And the reason that Jesus said, by your words you will be justified and by your words you'll be condemned, is because your words reveal what's in your heart. And you will know, you can listen to other people and know by their speech. And I'm not even talking about coarse language. I'm not talking about swearing. I'm not even talking about any of that. I'm not even necessarily talking about negative speech. I'm talking about you will know a person's heart by what they say.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas, where every once in a while you'll hear me go, and my voice will crack. But that's fun. You might as well enjoy it. This is the show, baby. Here's your first trivia question. What does the name Barnabas mean? What does the name Barnabas mean? There are two real common answers. Both of them would be acceptable. What does the name Barnabas mean? If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Let's do our DNA. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Everybody spend some time with the Lord. Okay, well, that probably didn't help anybody, but just do it every day or I'll sing. I'll come over to your house and sing, and then you'll really be sorry. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Never. If you're ashamed of Jesus and his words, he'll be ashamed of you when he comes back. Ooh, bad, right? That's terrible. I mean, your whole life you're devoting and trying to walk with the Lord, but in the other direction, oh, that'd be terrible. So D, draw closer to the Lord daily. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. And then A, always be ready
to serve.
To serve. So here we have the fulfillment of the law of Christ according to Galatians, and that's carrying one another's burdens, caring about other people, being there as an agent. An agent, a vehicle by which God can use you to minister to others, to bless others, to encourage others, to strengthen others, and to be there and concentrate not just on yourself, but concentrate on everybody the Lord brings into your universe. You can't concentrate on somebody the Lord's never brought into your universe. This is one of my big arguments with certain theologians. Like, I can't be praying for somebody I have no concept of, but people that God brings. So, for example, you know, we tell people we're praying for ministries this month, and so, you know, choosing to soar, that is a ministry that the Lord has introduced me to. They are in my universe. We are going to support them. We're going to interview with them. We're going to have Tanya on. That's what I'm talking about. Okay? All right. We have somebody ready to answer a trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Oh, this is your brother, Samson.
Hey, brother, how are you?
Good. I just need a little encouragement.
Well, you've come to the right place, we hope. Oh, but that's so good on the trivia, isn't it? You are so good. All right. So that's going to be the answer, by the way. So ding, ding,
yes.
ding.
That was my little quirky way of answering.
That was a great one. Barnabas means it's either encouragement, consolation. It can go either way. But that's it. Encouragement. Exactly, brother.
Hey, it's Shabbat night, so let's be cheerful.
Absolutely.
And be encouraging.
Yeah, absolutely. And how would you like that, though, if you're going to get a title from the apostles, right? How would you like that to be, hey, that guy's like Mr. Encouragement. Like, wow.
Yes.
Right? I mean, you're just thinking, thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, the apostle encouragement.
Exactly. Exactly. You give them the name, it does the very thing it gives them the name for. How are you doing in general? What's going on with you?
Well, I have two prayer requests. One, to pray for me that I'm having a little hard time with somebody, and just how that Lord will help me to be gracious to myself and to them.
Okay.
And be a Christian.
Okay.
And also pray for my extended family. They are going through some difficult time.
Okay. All right, let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's bring it before the Lord. Let's do it right now. Father, we come before you right now. We thank you and we praise you. Lord, it doesn't matter if my voice is scratchy or not. You hear everything that's in our hearts and minds as we lift them up to you. And we just love that you receive us, that you hear us, that you respond to us. And so we lift up our brother Samson. He's got stuff going on. He knows he's a part of it. He just wants to have the right spirit. He wants to have a right attitude within himself. He wants there to be peace in a situation that's maybe getting out of hand. It's funny because your word, Lord, says that when our ways please you, you make even our enemies to be at peace with us. So there is this portion that we're petitioning you for, that there can just be a graciousness that settles on the situation. And Lord, the extended family, you know every nuance, everything that's going on there, and we just ask you to fill that scenario, fill those situations with your mercy and your kindness, and that the receivers will know it is from the hand of God that this has come upon us, and that they would testify to that. And I pray that you would bless him and encourage him and watch over him, keep him strong in you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. Hey, I just remember one really crucial prayer request.
Okay.
My wife's nephew last night, I think he broke up with his girlfriend, or his girlfriend broke up with him, so he was going through a really tough time and some suicidal ideation he was dealing because he is, I think, a little bipolar. So just pray for, and he's not a Christian, so we are praying, and I would like our brother and sister, David Spoon Experience, to pray for that young man, that in the middle of all this chaos, that he will find Jesus, and also to know that the life is precious because it's given by the law.
Amen. That you heard your brother ask for help. That is on everybody who heard that. You have a responsibility before the Lord. It's not before me. So you have to take that on. Nice job, Samson. Good phone call.
Thank you.
All right. God bless you, bro.
God bless, and Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. All right. So you heard, you got to be praying. The Lord brought that in your universe. You got to take that on, right? Okay. I'm going to wind this down. I do have a testimony I'm going to share that happened in OL. It's kind of a fascinating one. You got to remind me of that because it's got a lot of stuff flying through my limited brain. But let's just finish off on Hebrews chapter 11. We're at verse 40. It says this, since God has provided something better for us so that they would not be made perfect without us. What does that mean? They would not be made perfect without us. Well, let's understand something. The truth of the matter is the entire theme of Hebrews is to help us understand that the New Testament is better than the Old Testament. And we can say that with much assurance because specifically that is what the New Testament said. God provided something better for us. What was that something better? Jesus. The reality is, without Jesus and without the new covenant, all the people of the past, listen, would not be made perfect or become fulfilled, because they need to do it in Jesus. It is through Jesus' redeeming work and the blood that he shed, and the perfect sacrifice makes everything perfect for us. For the future of in the kingdom of God, Jesus makes it better. Jesus makes it whole. And the Old Testament heroes could not reach the place they wanted to reach without us in the New Testament era, because it has to happen through Jesus, and that's in our time frame. You see what I'm saying? So it's like, oh, so it's God providing something better for us, Jesus, and they could not be made perfect or complete without us, because in our time frame, there's Jesus. It's like, okay, there you go. How do you just, well, we got through chapter 11. That's pretty good. All right, excellent. Don't forget to pray for Samson's, the mention, I think his name is Matthew. Was his name?
I don't know if he said the name.
Okay, might not have said the
but,
name. But just nephew. Pray for Samson, who we referenced, and we'll be praying for one another. We'll take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Your break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience.
I'm not going to do an overriding teaching that will make the Baptist or the Church of Christ proud, so neither one of you groups can be all excited about this, because that's not the purpose of this. Here's where we're picking it up. As verse 34 ends, the eunuch asked Philip, what was Isaiah talking about, himself or someone else? Verse 35 from Acts chapter 8 says, Philip says, Philip began with the same scripture and then began to tell him about the good news about Jesus. As they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, there is some water. Why can't I be baptized? So let's just stop right there. When Philip was explaining the gospel to the eunuch, he had to include the understandings or the teachings of baptism, or the eunuch never would have said, why can't I be baptized? He never would have said it, never would have come up, unless Philip had brought that information to light. In multiple translations, it then says, you can, Philip answered, if you believe with all your heart. And the eunuch replied, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This is often known as believer's baptism. Some texts will show this in the footnote. I disagree that it should be reduced to the footnote. I think it's a part of the text. I would not fellowship with you over that. I just think it is a part of the text, because he asks a very pointed question, and in this exchange, Philip is giving a very pointed answer. So he's like, well, there's some water. I want to be baptized. I want to respond to the gospel. I want to say yes. And Philip responds by saying, you can. You can get baptized. As long as you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you can be baptized. Now, why that's important is because this is the difference between many different groups about who can be baptized. Some people think, well, a child can be baptized. Yeah, but a child can't believe in Jesus, so then how can a child be baptized? That's the argument, okay? Those, again, those are not fellowship issues. Those are disagreements. You know, I spent 10 minutes talking about understanding who's got the Spirit of God and who doesn't have the Spirit of God. When you have a difference of application of Scripture, that person's not an evil person. They're not some kind of demonic whatever. They see something different than you. Okay. They're genuinely in a relationship with Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ is what redeems us. They are acknowledging their heavenly Father, praying, Our Father who art thou in heaven. They drink of the same Holy Spirit. They come to a different conclusion. Yeah. What else is new? Does everybody think McDonald's is the best fast food? Are you kidding? There's only a few people.
770 KAAM, Garland, Dallas, Fort Worth.